Susania and Little Newsiers present Boxer Blue and Brown.
Hey, you. Are you 8? Because I am. And my name's Bram.
And I'm Jake, Bram's dad. But some people call me Boxer Blue. Blah! And here is the news.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
It's May and I'm really excited because, like, you know, I don't know, flowers are out, like, school numbers out. So.
Oh, yes. Me too. Hi, everybody. It's May 2024. And we're having a great spring here. It's about to become summer. We can't wait. You know, living in New Jersey, it's pretty amazing.
Yes. We had a lot of news for kids. We're going to start off with a story about Donkey Kong.
Oh, yes. you won't believe what happened with Billy Mitchell and Donkey Kong. There was this movie, it was called King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters, that came out, I guess, about 15 years ago or so. And it was a pretty silly movie. It was a documentary all about these two guys who were fighting, battling, to be the best at Donkey Kong, a game with Mario. It's actually where Mario, Super Mario Brothers, comes from.
Yes. So, like, back in the 1980s, everybody's playing with quarters, and there was this super cool arcade game called Donkey Kong. You know, like, you climb ladders and dodge barrels, and you save the damsel in distress. Her name is Pauline, I think, right?
Yes, so there was this guy named Billy Mitchell who was, like, a superstar in it. But in this documentary, basically, we learned about all of these people that, number one, were really into Donkey Kong, but number two, these two guys were fighting for the top scores.
Yeah, so Steve Weeb was his name, Steve Weeby, they're trying to be the champion. And so basically, Billy Mitchell was kind of the bad guy in the movie. He was just kind of like not a nice guy. Or that's how he came across in the movie anyway.
Yes, so he was kind of the winner of the Donkey Kong battle. But his high scores got questioned in 2018. Basically, the moderators of this thing, I guess, or, you know, like the people who officially look at Donkey Kong, they basically said that he didn't play fair. So this is Twin Galaxies, which is the name of this organization. And that he used some fancy arcade emulator thing and not the real Donkey Kong machine.
Yeah, then Billy Mitchell said the fight wasn't over, and he filed a lawsuit. He went into court, and then just, I guess about a couple months ago, they finally said that Billy Mitchell, basically his score remains, but the scores are being buried.
Yes. His scores won't go back on the main leaderboard, and he's banned from competitions. They're going to put his scores in a historical database. It's like a time capsule for old scores. And they're also deleting all the arguments about it.
Yes. Get this, the records Billy Mitchell got back are like old school. We're talking about scores from way back, like, I don't know, 1,040,000, you know. But times change, and some dude named Robbie Lakeman has the top score at 1,272,000. That's like, wow.
Yeah, so Billy Mitchell's saga finally ended, but Donkey Kong goes on. Who would have thought a game about a giant ape and a guy named Mario would cause so much drama? Games are crazy, dude.
Doosh, doosh.
Okay, so listen up. I've got the craziest story about two dudes, Carissa and Matty Roy, who are on a mission to find true love. They put $100,000 on it. Like, what?
Yes, so this guy, Matty Roy, was all chill about dating, but then he became in his 30s and was like, I need to find someone to have kids with. So he made a fancy online dating bio thingy, and he was like, hey, I'm 6'2", don't do bad stuff, and I want kids. And get this, he offered $2,000 to whoever introduced him to his future baby mama or papa. It's like a treasure hunt for love.
Yes, but this gets even wilder. His friend threw in an extra $1,000 if Matty found someone who made him happy for at least 18 months. Another buddy, Tolly is his name, I guess, went all out with a $100,000 bounty spread over 4 years.
Yes, Tolly was all about that vesting structure. It's like a startup business or something, right? And so after the first year, if the match stuck, he'd get $25,000. Now, people were kind of making fun of them, like calling it cringe and all, but Matty and Tolly were like, whatever, let's do it.
And guess what? It worked. Matty got 27 introductions, and Carissa Casile was the one who caught his eye. And then basically they're together. And so it's amazing. It's love at first sight, I guess.
Yes. Who knew you could put a price tag on finding your happily ever after, right? Doosh, doosh.
Let's talk about Sesame Street! Yay! Sesame Street's taking over the internet!
Yes, yes. Move over, Elon Musk, because Big Bird, Cookie Monster, and the gang are in charge now. It's like a Muppet Revolution.
Yeah, it started off with Big Bird having a mini-crisis about his size on X. You know, X is what they used to call Twitter. And he was feeling small, so he started making some funny tweets. Now Elmo, Cookie Monster, and Grover, they're all viral, spreading love and joy on X.
Yes, yes, yes. I think you have to be 13 years old to actually use X, by the way.
Yes, yes, yes. So, it's a crazy world where everything's messed up. Sesame Street characters are like a breath of fresh air.
Yes, and so recently, Elmo actually asked, "How's everybody doing?" And suddenly X was flooded with grown-ups confessing their struggles and sharing memes. Elmo touched a deep chord, and it was like therapy on the internet.
Then, out of nowhere, President Biden joined the chat, trying to be all serious. Some folks weren't happy about it, but hey, Elmo was there for the feels, not politics. In the end, Sesame Street characters kept spreading love and joy, proving that even in the darkest times, a little Muppet magic can make us smile.
Doosh, doosh. Guess what? You know, I don't know about you, but I love rock and roll.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, you're gonna love this story, I think. So the iconic Höfner violin bass guitar that jammed with Paul McCartney and the Beatles disappeared for more than 50 years and it's finally been found.
Yes, it's like a rock and roll fairy tale. So this legendary bass guitar was like the holy grail for Beatles fans. Where did it go after being last seen in London in 1969?
Rumors floated around, maybe a Japanese fan or a private collection.
But no, it was just chilling in the loft of a family home in East Sussex, England. How rock and roll.
Yeah, the hunt for this musical treasure heated up again in 2023, thanks to two journalists and a Höfner expert. They kicked off a search campaign asking the public for tips. Lo and behold, a family in East Sussex reported the missing guitar in September 2023.
Yes, yes, yes. In a surprising twist, the Höfner violin bass was authenticated by its manufacturer and returned to Paul McCartney. A statement on Paul McCartney's website expresses gratitude to everyone involved.
The bass guitar wasn't just any instrument, it was part of Beatles history. Features in hits like Love Me Do and Twisted Shout. McCartney bought it in Hamburg in 1961. And so it was very, very important to him, right? It only cost £30 back then.
Yes, yes, yes. Doosh, doosh.
So now we're going to talk about Native American museums and all the rules. It's very important to preserve culture, and we want to make sure that nobody gets offended at in Native American museums.
Yes, yes, yes. We actually visited an amazing one, I should say, of the Boxer Wings. We went to in Oklahoma. It was an incredible museum. It's called the First Americans Museum.
Yes, yes, yes. It was really, really, really amazing.
Yes, so let's step into the complex world of Native cultural gems and museums, where recent federal laws are changing how these treasures are shown. The Field Museum in Chicago is at the forefront of this change, responding to rules that demand consent from tribes before showing certain items. Let's check this out and try to understand by looking at six different fascinating objects.
Yes, so let's look at first on the Hopewell ear ornaments. They're off display. They're not shown because these earrings might be special to people who passed away. So they're being kept away.
Yes, yes, yes. An Inuit bag, which is a furry bag from Alaska, it's also not shown because it's about people who passed away. So again, one of the rules is we don't show things in museums now about Native Americans who have passed away.
Yes, yes, yes. There's a Pueblo pottery. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, so this is a clay bowl from Arizona. It's not shown because it might be special to a group of people. So the museum is checking with them.
Yes, now the Nooksack mask. It's a mask with a painted eagle from Canada. This is from a place called Canada, so it's okay to show.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, and the Hopewell pipe, it's a stone pipe from a special place. It's not shown because it might be special to people, again, who passed away. So checking with important groups.
Yes, and a Pawnee drum. It's a big drum made by a Pawnee person. The people want everyone to see it. It's not about people who passed away. So I guess the big important thing to remember is that, in general, if you have something that has, a connection to someone who's passed away, we don't show that in Native American museums.
Yes. Doosh, doosh.
Well, Dad, this has been a great show. I want to thank you so much. I'm excited for our final show next month. I love you so much, and I hope you maybe read a story to me tonight.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll be very happy to read a story to you, Graham. I love you.
Yes.
Doosh, doosh.
If you like news for kids in a different way, just check out Little News Ears on YouTube or on your favorite podcast platform.
May your sweetness shine
and your colors glow. Blah!
Sources of today's broadcast include the New York Times.